Let's talk cards. Let's talk cards powered by Auburn Cards. Check us out on Instagram, eBay, all that good stuff. Zach Blackerby, Jamie Crossan here with you. I want to open up today's show with just sharing some frustration with PSA. And it's not the typical stuff that everybody else complains about. The upcharges, the return times, some of it is return time based. But the thing that's really grinded my gears today is we have two orders at the grades ready process in the app, but the grades aren't ready. They're not actually ready. They were in QA checks for weeks, which is fine. That's normal. Then it says grades ready in the app and you click on it and the grades aren't ready because they haven't charged us yet. And that's really, that seems like such an avoidable problem to have, Jamie.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're all enslaved at this point to the PSA monster. All right. Like it, you're one of many. I think they're overused. I think they're undermanned. And I think
grades ready at that bottom one.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Zach.
It's not ready. Grades ready on the express. It's not ready. It doesn't make any sense. Just keep
waiting. How long have you been waiting? How long have you been waiting?
It was this morning.
No. I mean, like, when did you send the cards in? Like, was it the value?
Goodness. One of those was months ago. And then the express one we sent. So this is express. This is 150 a card.
Oh, no.
And it's 2 weeks late.
Unacceptable.
Or 150 a card is crazy.
So, I mean, and the thing that makes it so bad, I mean, what do you have primarily in your stack? Is it TCG? Is it sports? What is it?
So the bulk one that we sent forever ago was TCG. Yeah. And okay. Then the Express is a mix. It's a Gold Star Celebi, so Pokemon. Mm-hmm. It's a Ramondre Stevenson Black Finite, so sports. And then Elijah has a Shedeur Sanders Kaboom in there.
Okay. Well,
so I mean, those are some pretty big cards, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's money that you're counting on. And every day that the season trickles away, that's money lost. I mean, we all know what happens when the season ends. They slide. It's the time to buy. And you guys are trying to get that in and sold before the season ends. And the season's ending in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, like with the Ramondre Stevenson, like the Pats making the playoffs is super clutch.
Yes.
Still, yeah, it's kind of interesting. And like Shedeur Sanders, like he just got named to the Pro Bowl. Like, okay,
right.
I would like that card now. We sent it in with the hopes of getting it by Dallas, but nope, not happening.
And not here happening. You are.
I just don't understand why you would advance it to the grades ready stage when they're not actually ready. Like, how does that make any sense whatsoever?
I mean, how does a lot of things make any sense with PSA? Here's the thing that grinds my gear. I don't mean to join in on like a rant session. This is I don't grade very much. I don't grade, and here's why. Now I see the value in grading.
Yeah.
I purchase graded cards all the time.
Right.
But a lot of the frustrations that you're talking about are the reasons that I don't grade. Like I have when I grade, I almost exclusively only grade PC because if I'm grading for flipping, I feel like I'm rolling the dice on too many variables like pop control that I believe in. I believe it's a real thing. Okay. I believe pop control is a real thing. You can disagree with me on that. Maybe others do. I think it's a real thing. Maybe not all the time, but I think it rears its head. I mean, all I have to do is look at my beautiful Rock Timeless Treasures WWE slabbed 5 in my display to be like, why in the world? Why would we do this? A five. I would not send in a 5. I mean, I know cards enough to know that should have, at the very least, have been like an 8. It's a 5. And everyone has stories like this.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I know. So here's the thing, to put a bow on it.
It just popped. Should we do this together? Go ahead. Let's do this together.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like with PSA, like, and I want to get your take on this too, because I'm really curious to know what your thoughts are really. Okay. Give the people what they want. What are you looking at? Your face has given you away. For those of you listening, Zach just made a oh my gosh face.
Gold Star got an 8. Thought I was going to get a 6 or 7. That's a big difference.
Okay.
Big difference. That is incredible. That's big.
So the grades are ready. So while we were ranting, the grades got ready. Is that what happened?
Yep. They heard us talking. So that got a 9. And then I knew this was going to get a 9. That's PC. I'm fine with that. But
yeah. Well, wow. Let's rant about $1 million and see what happens, shall we?
Yeah, for real.
But anyway, I want to kind of get your thoughts on this, because we were chatting a little earlier, and everyone knows at this point the PSA has grabbed hold of not PSA, right? To be clear, it's collectors, correct? They're the ownership group.
Yeah.
And they have acquired BGS. Many people are looking at that and saying it's a monopoly. It's not good for the hobby. I tend to land hard on that side. I tend to think that competition is a good thing. All you need to do to know that is to look back at WWE. We're wrestling fans. Look back at WWE when there was no AEW and when WCW was gone. I mean, it just kind of got dull and stale. Yeah. Where do you see this going with that acquisition? Because in my opinion, BGS was, and again, just my humble opinion, BGS was the best alternative to PSA for grading. And when they got gobbled up by the collectors ownership group, and now they're under that umbrella, it leaves us wondering, like, where can we go? I mean, where can we go? What company, is there a company that exists right now that's going to rise up and get more clout? Or is there a new company that's going to surface, or one of these newer companies, are they going to experience a rise? What do you think?
Yeah. I'm geeking right now. I can't believe I got an 8. That's like a $1,000 turn. That's crazy.
I'm happy for you, man. That's great.
That's so wild. So, I mean, we've seen this happen before. SGC's grading, you know, SGC got a ton of steam, and then collectors acquired SGC. And I was in the camp of, like, I mean, you talk about grading for PC. We try to send something to PSA every week. Like, we send a ton of cards to PSA. But stuff that I didn't really plan on flipping, I just wanted it protected or whatever. And I like the SGC slabs. I think they look better. They have destroyed that company. And it's, you know, they called it, you know, they said that it was going to make it more of a boutique thing, where it's like it cost a little, like, you know, cost less, and it's quick turnarounds, and they've nuked the turnarounds. I mean, you used to send something to SGC and get it like the next week. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
It was awesome. And you started seeing them get traction and the market starting to respect them more. And then, you know, we all know what happened. Beckett was dying already. And so this one isn't the same thing, in my opinion. You know, I meant to bring this up when we talked and recapped the Dallas Card Show last week, but you know, Beckett had a massive presence there, a massive, massive line. They were charging $65 just for a raw card review, which is absurd.
Do you think that was an event driven cost?
I do.
Okay. So, I mean, that's just kind of, was it like a same day turnaround?
I think by end of show or next day.
Okay.
Still absurd. You can pay more to get it slabbed and all that, is my understanding. But that's what a lot of people are like, what do people do, raw grade review, like raw card reviews? I didn't even know that was a thing. I knew it was a thing. I didn't know a lot of people did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think the structure of it's different. The situation behind it is different, because like, it's not like Beckett was having this resurgence. Now people were starting to have the conversation of looking around like, man, I really don't love PSA. What can I find that's different? In the TCG world, you're seeing CGC get some traction. Right. And the numbers that are coming out, I'm shocked how much sports is being sent to CGC. But those numbers continue to trickle up more and more. But until the market does something about it, as somebody who's, like, we send, like I said, we try to send at least one bulk sub to PSA every week. Some weeks we send 2, and then some weeks we don't send any, but like that's our goal. I don't know if you're doing it for flipping and for profit. I don't know why you would send your cards anywhere else unless it's for PC. But if you're just doing it for flip, I understand the argument of, well, if you don't want a certain amount of money tied into a PSA submission because you're not going to see it for months and months. I get that argument, but I don't, until the market goes another direction, it just, to me, it just doesn't make any sense to go anywhere else.
No, and that's the problem, Zach. That's really the problem. We all, I'll speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for the masses.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm considering sending something to a grading company for a flip, I don't like the turnaround time for PSA. I don't like the upcharge potential. I mean, you're punishing me essentially for finding a good card. I get the argument. I understand, hey, we're adding value, but you're not doing anything other than slapping a grade on it. Like, your workload didn't increase.
The upcharge thing, I get the frustrations with it, but like, you do have to pay for the insurance on shipping. Like, that's a big chunk of it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I still, even paying the insurance portion though, like, you've already been paid for your services, which we've come to understand, you know, takes what, an average of, I mean, there have been plenty of like former employees for PSA and graders that have come out and said it takes about 10 to 15 seconds to look at the card.
Which is crazy.
And that makes sense, right? Because if you have, like, to your point, you've got backlogged cards. I mean, they haven't slowed down at all. And so it makes sense that, mm-hmm, their workers are just glancing at it. I'm paying that money for 10 seconds worth of work, and then they fish it down the assembly line. And so your output hasn't increased. Like, you haven't done anything as a service to increase that other than to say the card that you submitted us is valuable. It's a 10, and we're going to ding you for that. We want a cut of that because we're ascribing value. I get that you're ascribing value. My point is, and I think a lot of people's point is, you haven't done anything other than say it's a 10. Your workload hasn't increased. You haven't done anything extra to merit all the hundreds and thousands of dollars I'm sending you in some case, because what happens when I give you a Walter Payton rookie and you graded a 10? Holy smokes. What about a Ken Griffey Jr. autograph? Yeah. 10, double 10, or hey, how about a Tom Brady Bowman Chrome that you graded a 10? Now I'm giving you thousands of dollars because I found out in the wild an amazing card.
Let me ask you this. So the last time, I'm just trying to think, like, shipping it to PSA.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it insured to the value that you think it is, I'm trying to think, like, when we ship the sub that we just sent, that we just revealed, I'm trying to think, but it probably costs like $100-$120 to ship it, like, fully insured.
It's a dollar for every $100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we insured that up to like 10K. We sent it with other stuff, that'll, you know, we'll get back in a few months, but yeah, I think we like insured it to like 9 or 10,000. So that sounds about right.
That's right.
Now the value is more, right? Mm-hmm. For those three cards.
Sure.
And so, like, I understand there's some of it. Now, does the number that you get upcharged for always match that? No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
No.
The upcharge I got most upset about is I bought a PSA 9 Moonbryon from Evolving Skies. It's like one of the modern grails for folks who don't know TCG. And it looked pretty good. Like, back centering was off a little bit. And I'm like, let's try, because the swing is tremendous from a 9 to 10 of that card. And I'm like, it's worth the, in my brain, I'm like, it's worth the $50. We sent it regular, I think it's what it was, like $50 for like 20 days or something at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, it's worth gambling $50 for potentially like $1,200. Like, yeah, we'll do that.
Sure.
And it came back a 9, and we still got upcharged because it was still like a $1,200 card or whatever. I'm like, I didn't even consider that, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's when the upcharges really get you. It's like, dang it. And they're like, well, you know, it's about the value of the card, right? It's not about the grade.
So to come back to this point, I hear what you're saying. Sure. So like the thing that you're experiencing is you're worried about the upcharge. You're worried about the time lapse. Everyone feels these similar frustrations. And so at that moment, the thing that we all gripe and complain about these things and the monster that it has become because it's acquired SGC and it's acquired BGS now, and who knows what's next on the horizon. And so we all have that desire. We don't like a lot of it. We all have the desire to find another. We want our cards back quicker. We want to pay less. And there's other companies that offer those services. The problem is for all of us, when we get to that point, we reckon in our mind, you know, if I go to another company, I am sacrificing hundreds, potentially thousands of dollars, because the value, the perceived value of a PSA 9 or 10 is so much more significant than any other company. And so we're going to put up with the headaches that we have to deal with. And until collectively, as a community, we get to that point and make a different decision, it's just going to be the same thing. We're all going to continue to do the same thing that we're doing. We're going to continue with the weights. We're going to continue paying the upcharges. We're going to continue with pop control and all the frustrations, because the reward factor of a 9 or 10 for our prize card that we're sending in is so much greater. And until I think the collective community makes a collective mind hive decision to switch, or a concerted effort to switch, it's just going to continue to get to a
which gain they power. Won't. I mean, SGC slabs and CGC slabs come up to the table all the time, and even Beckett stuff, I'm like hesitant to buy. And it's just like, I'm gonna be sitting on this for forever. And I'm like, I'll offer, but it's not gonna be, you know, the normal 80 to 85% that we offer, depending on, you know, what it is. So it's like, you almost got to treat it like it's raw. And SGC 9.5, it's like, it's just, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. So you guys,
you're right, man.
Offer raw prices.
Yeah. I mean, how do you see that changing though? Like, I mean, do you see
it's not going to change? And look, everybody talks about how awful PSA is or whatever. And it's like, well, those are the only slabs that you have in your display case.
Right.
They're the only slabs that you've handed me to, you know, buy or trade. There's a reason for that.
That's right.
There's a reason for that. And how they got to this point, all that's fascinating. And, you know, they've executed and done a great job with the marketing and all of that. But
all right. So here's a question for you, Mr. Blackerby. Here's a question. If those are the realities, if we can't turn the Titanic away from the iceberg, if it's too big to fail, then the question becomes, how can we manipulate the variables in the system so that we maximize our profit? How can we kind of neo the matrix of this thing? Do you have any thoughts? I haven't prepped you for that question, but that's the question that comes to mind. What is the strategy? Is it doing multiples a week and then just, you know, giving them that kind of money and hoping for that kind of intake? Is that seems to be Auburn Card strategy, right?
That's what we do. Yeah, that's what we do. You can flip, you know, and buy at 70, 80% and then flip for 100% or whatever that might be. You can do that over and over and over again. And that works. The biggest consistent win in the hobby when we're talking strictly flipping that we have found has been getting good at inspecting cards and figuring out how to get a good gem rate and sending them off to PSA. And now we've gotten to a point where, like, there's a balance, right? Like, you've got your cash flow as far as you're flipping. And I mean, there's no telling how much money we have at PSA just kind of sitting there. Thankfully, we're about to get some of it back. But that's the game. And for a while, like, we were just kind of sitting on our hands. And thankfully, you know, we've been fortunate enough to kind of, you know, put in the work and flip and, you know, find people who buy strong and pay strong and repackers and all of that. But yeah, it's just, I think it's a balance. I think you need to find a way to have cash flow for flipping and also, you know, hoping PSA sees and has the same opinion of your cards as you do. I think that's it.
Now here's the million-dollar question, literally, could be, how does one get good at such an arbitrary process when, like we said earlier, you're dealing with, you know, however many dollars per hour workers that are assembly line glancing at what you guys
I think this is something that I don't hear enough people say in the hobby, like, and PSA is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, we'll send in, it seems like every submission we send in, every bulk one, there's one that, you know, you talk about your rock getting a five. There seems to be a road six, a rogue six or a rogue three in every submission. Right. So like, right. I don't think they're perfect, but I do think they're more right about our cards than most people let on. Like if something got a nine, I know there's plenty of videos of cracking nines and sending the tens, and we've all seen tens that have whitening on the back. Like we've all seen it. But I do think there's something too. Like the more you look at these cards and the more picky you are before you send them off, it is reflected in gem rate. Like that is true. So I think like Elijah, this is more of Elijah's thing. It'd be a better question for Elijah, but you know, he puts them under a light. He's got like this microscope thing, and you know, he's super, super picky about what we send off. And since he's gotten like spent the time on that, we haven't gotten cooked yet, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see if that happens sometime soon, I'm sure.
Wow. I mean, those are good tips. Like, you know, just for, like for informational purposes, Zach, what would the cost be if someone like myself or someone listening, if they said, you know what, I'm going to dedicate myself to becoming an expert. How do you become more expert, I should say, at deciphering those cards?
Oh man, there's so many YouTube videos out there. Just Google, like they're going to be better at explaining it than me. And once again, like that's more of Elijah's stuff. I get the cards, I give them to Elijah, and then I'm the one who gets them the PSA. So like we each have our different roles there. But
nice.
He watched a lot of YouTube videos. I mean, there's so much stuff out there. There's so much stuff cool out there. And I'm not talking about cleaning cards or any of the controversial stuff. I'm just talking strictly inspecting them, you know, wiping them off and then putting them in the putting them in the semi rigids. So I think
you source from whatnot, you source from eBay. Where do you source?
Discord, and like I mean, you want to see it in person, a lot of that stuff. So like, that was my main thing in Dallas. We're about to send off all the raw stuff that we bought in Dallas this nice. Week. So looking forward to that. I bought a lot of raw Pokemon to send in. And I do think nice, like the gambling aspect of sending it to PSA is it's a different math problem for Pokemon and One Piece possibly than it is for sports. You know, sports, there are exceptions to this, but for the most part, a 10 is usually worth a little bit more than double a nine. For Pokemon, it can be a $5 card, but in a PSA 10, the market may have it as like $110.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a different thing. And so like if you buy, you know, say you sent the bare minimum for a bulk submission at PSA and you sent like 20 TCGs, like you only have to gem on like four or five of the right ones to like, you know, get your money back. So I think the math is a little bit different too, depending on what you're doing.
Well, it's better. I mean, you hear it all the time. It's a cliche at this point, but Pikachu never tears an ACL. So,
right. I mean, especially when stuff's in limbo for so long.
Right.
Like there was, you know, we sent some stuff off early summer last year, and I was really high on Garrett Nussmeier going into the season.
I remember this.
Yeah. I was buying them up left and right, and I got the stuff the second week of the season. And I just wish I got out on it just in time before he totally fell apart. But if I had had his cards right after they beat Clemson in week one, it's like, it would have been a totally different world. I still got a few. I'm just sitting in a case and I'll list them the night of the draft. I think we'll probably go in like the third day or something. But
right.
But that's a thing where like, okay, every estimated date of PSA, like I should have had them back, you know, weeks before the season.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about that as much with TCG because like Charizard and Pikachu, you know, they're going to ebb and flow regardless. And so that is something we're having to think of like, okay, whatever we send now, you're probably not going to get it until like June or July, which is stupid and absurd to think about. But it's like, okay, so what's going to be happening in June and July? It's like, well, the Nationals is going to be heating up. Football season is going to be about, you know, around the corner. And so a lot of it's going to be the rookies or maybe the 2024 quarterbacks. You know, I can't imagine Drake May and Bo Nix and Caleb Williams not being, you know, sought after that point. So it's like, all right, so you should be sending that stuff off now.
Now. Yeah. Now, I mean, I think to my earlier question about how can we navigate the variables? I think that we're hitting on it right now. I think that if you can anticipate the turn time being particularly slow, then you said it. Maybe what we're doing right now is if we're saying we anticipate a turn time of these cards being back with us by June, July, then maybe now's the time to buy football.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. And like with Prism and Mosaic, I mean, it seems like every break I'm looking at, if it's not Topps Chrome Basketball, there's a lot of Prism. I've been in a bunch of Mosaic breaks, and
shame on you, man. Shame on you for those breaks. Yeah.
Why?
Because I mean, it's the gambler's paradise, dude. Like, I mean, if I were to do that, I would just be, I'm being facetious. Have fun with the breaks. But like, if I'm just throwing, I'm burning money every time. You know this.
I think what you just said there is important. Like, have fun with the breaks.
Yeah.
Don't do it as an investment or anything like that.
Oh man, I've burned so much money. Like, I feel like I've joked before. I feel like my role in the hobby and terms of rips and breaks is to clear out all the commons and the junk to make way for guys like you to come along and score big. So you're welcome.
Thanks for your service.
I'm here to serve all of you. You're welcome, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, talking about the timing of PSA, like when Bowman Chrome U came out, I love college cards. Bowman Chrome U this year was really good. It stinks to buy teams now because everybody that's in the product on a different team. And so it's like, nobody's going to want this stuff, but I bought a case of that. First time I've ever bought a case of wax. I bought a case of it when it came out in like November, I think.
Yeah. I remember you telling me this. That's right.
Send it off to PSA and just keep it in the vault there until the draft. And like, I hope they're done by then. I hope they're done by the draft. But if not, like, I just pour it all down the drain. So that's it's still in research and ID, so it's not looking great, Jamie.
Hey, it's still marked as received.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, it made it to PSA, but they have not opened the box yet, I don't think. So
I sent it in 2024, but it's they just received it. It's there.
We went longer on that than I think we were both expecting, which is totally fine. Give us let's each share one name of someone we're buying, and I'll kind of piggyback of how we ended that conversation. I'm looking at Cam Ward right now. I think every cycle for the last few years since the hobby's really heated up again, there's always that other quarterback that heats up over the course of the summer. I think Jackson Dart's going to get a lot of early love from this rookie class. And I just think over the course of the long off season, there's going to be, like we saw, it was a few years ago, it was like Will Levis got some late hype. We've seen like AR get some late hype in some of these cycles, like when he was, you know, when he was about to go into his second season.
Right.
I think it's going to be Cam Ward this year. So I've got a few Cam Wards already shipped off, but I would like a few more.
That's a good buy. I agree with Cam Ward being a good buy. I'm going to zag a little bit. I turn quickly. So I buy and I flip quick. I'm more volume oriented. As you know, spring training is right around the corner. They're about to be picking up big time. So I am gobbling up every bit of Shohei Ohtani that I can get. And I am looking to turn him quickly. If I see a Shohei, I go for it if it's within reason, with the goal of trying to sell within the next few weeks as coinciding with spring training, because that hype, like we were talking about in June and July, that hype is starting to ramp up for baseball too.
Where we're located, it's really easy to move Atlanta Braves cards. They just don't sit on our tables for very long. And so in Dallas, I picked up a few Michael Harris's that I think that will move quickly. I haven't been to a show yet as a vendor since Dallas, but yeah, that's what I'm looking at too. It's Michael Harris.
So last thing, you hit me with a surprise, and I did not prep you for this. Last episode, you hit me with a surprise. I'm going to hit you with a surprise.
Okay.
Last night, you have not prepped for this, and I want to get your reaction. I want to get your number, see if you were a little better than I was. Okay. So last night I was on whatnot. Okay. It was a particular stream. There was about 120 people. Be careful and whatnot. We need to do a show about giving people the ins and outs of how to operate successfully and whatnot, because I feel like we could give some great advice.
I don't know if I have the answer to that. But anyway,
I feel like I have some answers. Okay. So I was on this particular stream, and they were running a Drake May Downtown Raw. It's 20 seconds. It was a Donruss.
Just normal Donruss. Okay.
Donruss, Drake May Downtown. I want you to take a stab at how much that card went for.
I don't even know what market is. I think it's around 1,000, I would guess. Is that what market is? Can I look up what market is?
Yes, you can look up the market. Go ahead and look up the market.
Is that fair?
Yes. It's Drake May Downtown Donruss.
Raw, right?
Raw Downtown Donruss. What are the last comps you're seeing?
Gosh, some people are so scammy. There's somebody listed one for $400 as a jumbo. They've got it like size where it looks like a normal size car. That's so crazy.
Yeah, there's some scam artists for sure.
Our last Raw did 1,200, and they've got a noted mark on surface. So, gosh, you're asking that, so it must be high. Yeah, some of the clean ones. Gosh, a lot of these have a noted like error or some slight damage. So, 2K. I don't know.
$2,600. $2,600.
What did the streamer say when when they got a buy? We're like, good buy. That's a steal. That's a great buy.
That's a steal. That's a steal right there, boys. Hey, you know, invest now. He's going to the Super Bowl. He's MVP. He's going to win. That's a great investment. You'll see. It's a great investment. Goodbye, chat. Goodbye.
That's crazy.
$2,600 for a card that we would have paid $300 for, maybe $350 for 4 months ago, right?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, we had some awesome Drake Mays. Like, we had a color blast. I mean, we've had his downtown several times. It's just, they've always been liquid. Now they're even more liquid. It's just kind of insane. Go Pats, though. That's awesome.
Go
Pats. I want to PC him so badly, and it's just like, it just doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense right now.
I've got a blue glitter PSA 9 that I'll sell you.
Yeah. You put that thing on eBay and just list it for like $100 more than you paid for it.
I probably should. I just don't like eBay. I don't like the fees.
We need to do I started doing eBay.
Uh-huh.
And my opinion on it has totally shifted.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, we need to talk about that. I need to hear about it.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yes. Be sure to subscribe. If you're listening on audio, please subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe. It means a ton. Check us out on Instagram, auburn.cards on Instagram. Till next time, this has been Let's Talk Cards.